This is the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. Bill Russell and I are delighted to be welcoming today Dr. Gary Wills, known for a number of different hats that you wear, including commentator, including a theologically committed person, including a student, a longtime student of the religious Christian tradition, including American history. Lots of different ways that you have brought your intellectual prowess to bear. And thinking about Jesus, Paul, and the Gospels in this year of 2008 seems to me to be prescient in a way. Mm. That in a time of great literalism, fundamentalism all over the world, when literalism and authoritarian, as again your friend John Dean talks about the authoritarian, Jimmy Carter, who is a very devout Christian, talks about the dangers of the fundamentalist perspective, the misogyny of which you spoke. When you have all of these forces of repression at work, to bring out Jesus again seems to me surprising, because he's been so misused in the last...
Yeah, it's... You know, there are many Jesuses, there are many Christianities, there are many... And some of the strong ones in America have been unfortunate in their social consequences. Some of the other ones have been more fortunate. I like to contrast, too, that the Calvinist Puritan one, you were an individual. You went off and got saved all by yourself. And then you joined the community of living saints, visible saints. But there was a different one, which was the blacks, when they were deprived of their own religion, became Christians, and they were not allowed into white churches, so they developed their own view of the Christianity that had been taught to them. And their first leaders came out of that for a long time. They were the only leaders, the leaders of the black churches. But they had a very different view of Christianity. It was not the individual, it was the people. And of course, this is close to the Gospels because it goes back to the sacred writings of the Jews. There are many wonderful spirituals about Jesus. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen, and he never sent a mumbling word, and things like that. But more of their spirituals are about the chosen people. The old ark's a mover, and on. We're all riding the ark. We're all heading toward the promised land. We'll reach there as a people. That solidarity. I love that spiritual about Jacob wrestling the angel. Jacob wrestled the angel till the break of day. Jacob wrestled the angel, never let him go. I hold my sister with a trembling hand, I'll never let her go. I hold my brother with a trembling hand, I'll never let him go. That kind of religion of the people was what impressed Lincoln. You know, he was impressed by the black religion. He was not terribly religious before the war. It became more as the war went on and deepened in all kinds of ways, as prose did, as thought did. But the only time he ever referred to Jesus as the Savior was to a group of black ministers. And he became very close to Frederick Douglass at the end, who had been a Bible teacher as a young man. And you look at the second inaugural, and it's entirely what we call an Old Testament view. That's a bad term. We shouldn't even use it.
The Hebrew Bible.
Yeah, it's the sacred writings. But there, it's we as a people have sinned by slavery. We as a people have suffered. We as a people need redemption. We as a people hope to be saved. So when you go back into the communities of the Gospels, they are all speaking that way, speaking in terms of the sacred writings. So that's part of our American history, too, because of the blacks, because of Lincoln.
And this is a profoundly individualist culture. When you look
exactly.
at it seems to me that materialism and individualism are absolutely inextricable,
sure.
One from the other. And what you do in saying over and over again how radical Jesus is and how he calls all people and how individual the Jesus story is, the Jesus message is, the fact that one can find a new way of looking from very old stories. Again, if we don't know our history, this the line of the individualist hyper-individualism in a time when America's kind of gone crazy.
He's teaching the sacred writings and saying, I come to fulfill them, not to cancel them, and all that. But there was one part of the sacred writings he didn't like, the holiness code, in which, again, the individual is clean, and I can't brush up against the unclean, and otherwise I'll have to run off to the temple and get cleansed.
That was very fundamentalist, wasn't it?
It dictated life in a most extraordinary way. The majority of the people that you ran into were unclean in those days. Samaritans, tax gatherers, prostitutes, all those people were unclean. And the thing is, he walked through all of the holiness code. Every one of those people he embraced. And of course, he was criticized for it. He's called the devil. How can you mix with that woman? How can you mix with this tax collector? How can you deal with a Samaritan woman? And that's the one part of the sacred writings that he broke through. And he said, you're not made unclean by what you take into your body, but by what comes out of your heart. That religion of the interior was the way that he broke most strongly with the sacred writings.
And it was one of the things you make wonderfully clear in the stories about the gospel, it was that breaking through in the context in which you found yourself, the fact that each of these gospels is so much integrated into each of the communities, the challenges faced by that, to me it was in many ways a startling revelation, that as you say, this is not history. This is taking an important story and particularizing it into a community, not to my individual needs, but to the needs of the community. So each one of those looks radically different depending on the circumstances of the community. That to me is a radical contextualization and a radical shift from my standard view of even early Christianity, much less the current condition.
Yeah, it's a break that we owe. You know, one of the wonderful things about living today is that the view of Scripture was really benighted for most of the history of it in the most extraordinary way. And it was through the 19th century that you had a breakthrough in historiography and the philology and archaeology. All of those things happened, and it had this tremendous impact on the Bible study. And out of that has come all of our current understanding.
I just want to say philology is the study of words, if one is not familiar with that term. That's very important.
Yeah, the text. And so, you know, the...
For 1,700 years, or maybe 1,500 of those 17, it wasn't there.
Right.
Jesus spoke Old English.
The established church, all of them in some way, but mainly the Roman, fought that tooth and nail. Modernism was anathema, and it was all revealing all these riches. And so you had the anti-modernist oath that priests had to take in the early 20th century. You had to agree to blatant scientific nonsense in order to be ordained a priest. You had to agree, for instance, that the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. False. The same man wrote the letters of John. Same man wrote the Revelation of John, false. You know, any one of them is false in itself, and together their falsehood multiplied because the same person couldn't have written these three things. They're in totally different styles. And
it has a consequence.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so you have this kind of fundamentalism of various sorts. You have the fundamentalism of the evangelicals, you know, who believe that God created the world in 6 days. And you have the fundamentalism of my own church, which believed that what it had said for centuries had to be true.
The Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, that you had to agree to that tradition in that sense. You know, I certainly believe that tradition and Scripture have to go together, because what else formed Scripture? It was a tradition that formed Scripture. But the idea that there is a kind of separate one that comes down through a pope or somebody like that is totally false. The original church was very democratic
and egalitarian.
Yeah, and full of women ministers, gospel spreaders. You know, the current Pope, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, somebody said to him, well, how can these Catholics differ from their authorities? And the Pope, the Cardinal said, well, Catholic truth is not established by majority vote. But it was, as a matter of fact. The councils, the councils in the 4th century had hundreds of bishops. One man, one vote. Didn't matter whether you were a pope, or who wasn't even there, or a metropolitan of the Eastern Church. One man, one vote. Hundreds of people voted. And the majority told us what the Trinity means. And the majority told us what the Incarnation means.
Well, and what the canonical form of what we now call the New Testament.
Even earlier in the second century, right. by consensus of the people.
Yeah. We will break a number more stereotypes when we return in just a moment with Gary Wills. Do join us when we return.